Joining me here today to talk about an evening of cello ensemble music are Anne Sherfield and Jeffrey Butler. Thank you both for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
Good morning.
And returning, actually, to WMUK. The group we're talking about is called Octocelli, and it features up to 8 cellists playing at once, although usually you design your programs so that you hear a variety of duos, trios, quartets, quintets, and kind of leave the full-powered 8 cello extravaganza toward the end of the program. This spring concert brings you together at 7 o'clock at First United Methodist Church in downtown Kalamazoo tonight. And there's a wonderful reason for this concert. You're calling it a salute to Mary Butler. Jeffrey, that's your mother.
Mm-hmm.
And you're one of 2 sons of Mary and Herb. And you have traveled quite a ways to be here.
That's right. I live in Houston, and I'm a cellist in the Houston Symphony. And Anne contacted me a while ago just to let me know that they wanted to do some kind of program and do something for my mom, and could I be there? And it just happened that this week the symphony's not working, so I was able to come up. So I'm very, very happy to be here.
Mm. Well, I'm sure that the rest of the Octocelli folks are very glad to have you too, not only because you're Mary's son, but you're a terrific cellist to be joining the group. And sounds like this was something of your brainchild, so let's
actually
hear it.
David Peschlikai contacted me last fall, and he said, let's do something for Mary. Apparently he did this for Louis Potter when he was at Michigan State, and so he thought this would be a nice thing to do for Mary, who's been a well-known cellist in the Kalamazoo area for many, many years. I remember as a kid admiring her in the symphony, and knowing some of my friends that were her students, and so we wanted to do something special for her while she was still living in Kalamazoo, mm-hmm. because we thought at some point she might decide to be closer to her sons, and we wanted to do something nice for her that she could remember.
David Peschlikai, we should say, is a former principal cellist of the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra, still plays with many orchestras, but has a teaching job at Hillsdale College and at Kalamazoo College.
Correct. Right now, so he does have a reason to come back to Kalamazoo
right.
once in a while since he's still teaching here.
Well, let's keep filling out this picture of Mary Butler for people who don't know who she is, may have just come to Kalamazoo, I guess, because she was one of the names that I learned going back to when I came to school here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think she already was retired even at that point I just know she was an important part of the music scene, kind of like Neil Saunders or somebody like that.
Sure. Yeah. Well, our family moved to Kalamazoo when my brother and I were very young infants, and Dad had gotten a job at Western teaching cello. He and Mom met at Indiana University when they were both students of Fritz Mogg, who was a longtime cello teacher there at IU and very, very well known. When we came to Kalamazoo, I'm sure Mom joined the Kalamazoo Symphony. I found a photo of the Kalamazoo Symphony in 1964 and was able to pick both my parents out in that photo. As well as many other people that I knew growing up. And so she played with the Kalamazoo Symphony at least 25 years. She doesn't remember which year she retired, and I don't either. But I know she was there for a long, long time and shared a stand with Dad on the front stand for quite a while, which was kind of interesting. That might have been the only 2 people that could sit together because Dad had become a left-handed cellist, which is another story. But it's a little disconcerting to have bows going in separate directions. So I think it took a special relationship to work together like that. But over the years, Mom taught many, many students. And I grew up hearing those students in our studio after school and usually at dinner would kind of hear about how the lessons had gone and who was doing what. And in addition to teaching privately, she did teach at Albion College and K College, and also some at Western. So she reached out and really impacted a great number of students over the years.
Is there anything that her students tend to bring up when they talk about studying with Mary Butler?
Well, you would have to ask them. I was her student for a time when I was a teenager in junior high school, which, if you know anything about parents and children studying music, that's a pretty difficult relationship at that age. And what I remember of my lessons with Mom was that she had high expectations. She insisted on certain things, and, you know, being a teenage rebel, I think I wanted to do things my way, and no, she was going to make sure that I did it properly. And I also recall Tony Ross was one of her students. Now, he's the principal cellist in the Minnesota Orchestra, but as a young cellist, he and I were very similar. I think, you know, I didn't pay much attention to whether there were accidentals there, and it was always Mom saying, "No, F sharp." So even practicing at home, I still remember that voice ringing out, "F sharp," making sure that I was playing the right notes.
From another room?
From another room, yeah.
Oh, knowing you're being monitored as in your private practice time. Wow. she may still be in your head as your...
Well, I think that is absolutely the truth, that teachers do have an impact like that. And whether it's fully conscious or subconscious in some way, that you always want to live up to those expectations that have been handed to you. And, you know, with two parents that played cello, I think the expectations were, well, my parents did not push me tremendously hard to practice all the time and to become a superstar instrumentalist. But when I did play, there was an expectation that I would maintain a certain level and reach a certain level. So, you know, it's a hard balance to strike as a parent.
Sure. Do you know this personally now? Are you a parent?
Oh, absolutely. I have four children, and they all take music lessons. Okay. And they all practice every single day. That's an expectation in our household. And just because we feel that part of music is learning discipline and perseverance and consistency. And whether you become a musician or not, those are qualities that can serve you no matter what you do. Mm-hmm. So it's not important to us that our children become professional musicians or even become tremendously accomplished. You know, that's up to them. But we do want them to learn things that musicians, young musicians studying and taking music lessons do learn and develop as people.
I'm speaking with Jeff Butler, whose mother, Mary Butler, will be honored tonight in a concert featuring Octocelli, an ensemble of eight cellists, mostly regional. Jeffrey flying in from Houston for this. It starts at 7 p.m. at First United Methodist Church in downtown Kalamazoo. Anne, I would ask you to share a few of your stories about Mary and possibly getting to know her. When did you get to know her?
Well, I knew of Mary Butler when I was a teenager. The Kalamazoo Symphony came to the St. Joseph High School when I lived in St. Joe, and I was in junior high, and they played, and I was just blown away watching them play. And that's when I first knew of Herb and Mary Butler. I actually didn't know who they were when I saw them, but my teacher told me when I came back to class. So that's when I first learned about them. But then when I came to town, I heard about them all the time once we moved to Portage, because Sheila Work was my high school orchestra director, and Sheila and her husband were good friends, J. Joe Work. Dr. Work was a viola professor at Western. So they were all good friends and knew each other really well. And so she would send us when they had recitals or concerts, and she'd advise us all to go. And so then I started developing more appreciation. And I what I first remember about Mary is that she always sat right beside her. She was always on the first stand. So that was a big impression. But what I want to say what I think of her right now is I've gotten to know her better since I joined the Kalamazoo Philharmonia, because she was still in it. And I sat behind her, and I loved, because for entrances after long periods of rest, I could always watch her bow, and I could always know that I was coming in at the right place if I was coming in with Mary. So that was a big help to me when I first joined that orchestra. But when we practiced together last week, it was really kind of cute, because she's still a teacher. She's like, louder there. And, you know, if you play the wrong note or the wrong rhythm, she's ready to let you know, and we better fix that. So I think that's kind of she's been a teacher for a long time. I don't know how she could stop being a teacher. But she's kind about it. It wasn't, you know.
Yeah.
But and I like somebody that will help you play better. So I enjoy working with her in that way.
And would you tell me who else will be performing on the concert tonight?
Okay, this is being presented by Octocelli, which is 8 cellos, but we're actually having 12 cellos tonight. I was told we need to change our name, but but that's because we've invited other people. We wanted to invite some of her former students to play. And so we have Marjorie Viswat-Latshaw, I hope I'm saying that right, who I've played with at Junior Symphony reunions before, and Carol Bullock Russell. Those are both students of Mary's. And Betsy Start, or Elizabeth Start, who's regularly in our group, is one of Mary's students also. And so we're having 12, and Barbara Gustin's also going to play with us. She's the wife of Dan Gustin.
Also from Kalamazoo Philharmonia.
Right, and so she has played with Mary for a long time, so she knows her too, so that's a nice another person to have, because it's somebody that's well familiar with her. And we wanted to end our concert with Hymnus, which calls for 12 celli. So Octocelli, in order to play this piece, we had to find 4 more people. And so we did our best to find people that would care about Mary.
Music begins at 7 p.m. And the concert does focus on music and performances, right? Will there be any opportunity for musicians to say a little something in between selections, perhaps?
Yes, I'm sure that we will be doing that. We haven't actually organized it very well, but yeah. I'm sure that Jeff will be saying something. I'm sure that some of us will be greeting the audience and Mary as well.
And David Peschlikai will be on the program as well.
Yes, he will.
Okay. Well, I've picked out a few of the pieces that I found because cello ensemble music is sometimes rare, not easy to find in the record library, but I did find a piece called Romance by G. Golterman. That's second on the program. Golterman seems to have written a few pieces for cello ensemble. I'm guessing he was a cellist himself.
Oh, yes. Probably one of the major European teachers. And I'm sure these types of pieces were written for him to play with his own students.
Oh, wonderful. All right, let's hear this Romance. It is for how many cellists, Anne?
4. It's a quartet.
That's music for 4 cellists. It's a serenade, a romance rather, by G. Golterman. And my guests here today are both cellists, Anne Sherfield and Jeffrey Butler. And tonight's salute to Mary Butler starts at 7 o'clock at First United Methodist Church of Kalamazoo, bringing together 12 cellists, as it turns out, for the ensemble Octocelli. I think you need to consider dodecacelli something.
We've like... already been told we should change our name, but this probably won't be permanent.
Yeah. Well, as you have in the past, it is structured so that we start with fewer cellists and end with more cellists. And we're near the beginning of the program. A couple pieces by Golterman. Jeffrey, you said he was a pedagogue and a composer and cellist of maybe the Romantic era.
Yes.
That music certainly sounded.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And as I said, I'm sure these things were written for his students. And there are other cellists who have written similar kinds of pieces, like David Popper wrote a lot of cello quartets. I think the reason for that, there's a certain kind of congeniality among cellists. We enjoy playing together, and the Octocelli group is wonderful, but it happens elsewhere too. In the Houston Symphony, we did some cello ensemble concerts for a while. There were a group of younger cellists at the time, and we called ourselves the Bad Boys of Cello. And that was taken after the Bad Boys of Basketball, when the Detroit Pistons had been named that. And we did some fun things and goofed around and had fun. But I think wherever you'll find musicians and cellists, you'll find cellists who are playing concerts together. This kind of repertoire.
And I've talked to David and Anne about this before, where the instrument itself, it works very well in multiples because of the range of the instrument.
Exactly. Violin doesn't have that deep bottom range, and cello has that. Plus, you can go way up and play melodic things too. So it works really well for ensembles.
How did you program this concert, and was this a bringing together pieces that everybody loved and got to vote on?
No, there's no voting in this group. David Peschlikai and I talked about it, and then he gave me a list, and he gave me a whole stack of music, and then I went through it, and I mostly used his list. Carmen was one that he hadn't put on the list, the Bizet, but I chose it because a lot of our music on this program is kind of slow. And so I thought it'd be nice to have something that was a contrast and familiar to us, so it'd be easy to put together with 12 cellos in a short amount of rehearsal time. Because when you have people coming from out of town, you're not going to be able to have, you know, 4 or 5 rehearsals. So David and I did most of picking it out. In fact, I think we did all of it.
Did you give Mary Butler a say?
Well, that is true. When David gave me the list, I went over to her house and spent some time talking to her, and I showed it to her, and I asked her if there was anything she wanted, and she was just very happy with what we had, so we went with it.
Again, the concert is at 7 o'clock tonight at First United Methodist Church in downtown Kalamazoo. I'm reading the biography in the program. The program has some wonderful stories and biographies of all the musicians in it. Mary Butler is first, of course, as Mary Butler grew up in Indiana and began playing cello as a young girl. You mentioned, Jeffrey, she went to the Indiana School of Music, the Jacobs School of Music at IU.
That's right.
And Fritz Mag was her teacher.
Yes.
And is Janosch Starker the...
Well, yes, Starker and Mag were both there at the same time and were the major cello teachers at IU for many, many years.
Okay.
And, of course, both of them have passed on at this point. And honestly, I don't even know who's at IU currently. but Mag and Starker were the two big studio names. And it's interesting to me that some of Mom's students also went to IU and studied with Mag as well.
After they were young students with Mary, and they went on to the same college and teacher that she mm-hmm. went to. Well, that's. Did she have any stories about Mag and the way he taught cello?
Well, Mr. Mag came from the Vienna Philharmonic. I believe he was the principal cellist there, and from Vienna. And I believe that's a society that they were not, well, put it this way, they were a bit sexist, I guess. Women weren't allowed into the Vienna Philharmonic until recent years. So I think Mom did feel a little bit of that as a female student in that era and at that time. But I also know that he was a very fine teacher and shared many great things for both of my parents, because they both studied together. That's where they met. They both studied with Fritz Mug. I don't have a whole lot of stories about Mr. Mug.
I'll have to get Mary here next time.
Sure.
she might be willing to go uncensored on all the stories. Mary was prepared to be a principal cellist, to be a soloist, to be a cellist for all occasions when she finished school, and she had many opportunities to do that as a cellist. One story that you include here has to do with an outdoor concert, and there's always a few possible drawbacks with outdoor concerts.
Yes. it was a summer concert in Bronson Park for the Kalamazoo Symphony, and I don't know who the piano soloist was, but the piece was the Brahms Second Piano Concerto, and there is a huge cello solo in the slow movement of that work. Dad was conducting the concert, and Mom was sitting principal and had the responsibility for performing that solo. And in the middle of that, there's some big shifts down the fingerboard, and she looked at her fingerboard and realized there was a yellow jacket perched right on the string where her finger needed to go. And if it's not enough stress to have a big solo to play, add on to that the unwanted visitor, and it's a unique situation.
Hopefully there was no injury or...
Oh, no, not at all. I think there was just surprise, and I think she probably shifted and the bee got out of the way.
Yeah.
But it's certainly a funny story that I remember from my childhood.
Trying to keep one's composure during all sorts of distractions is something musicians have to learn,
oh,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you performed a lot of concerts, both, I mean, obviously over 30 years in the Houston Symphony, you will have performed in the hall quite a lot. And do you also perform outdoors as a Houston Symphony musician?
Oh, yeah. In the summertime, we have two outdoor venues. One of them is in Herman Park in Houston. It's called Miller Outdoor Theater, and that's a city-owned facility where the Houston Symphony provides free concerts to the public. And we do several classical-oriented concerts, and then we also do a big 4th of July concert there every year. And there's another outdoor venue in Houston called the Cynthia Woods Mitchell Pavilion, which is in a suburb north of Houston. And it's a beautiful place that Cynthia Woods wanted to have as kind of a summer home for the Houston Symphony. So we do a lot of outdoor concerts there, too. And that's a variety of things, classical concerts and pops concerts and things like that.
One thing both you and your mother and father have had is full-time careers in music. And since we're sitting here at a university, in a university station, I'm wondering if you have any advice for young musicians who might be listening right now on careers in music and what advice you can give.
Well, I think the first bit of advice I would have is simply to be diligent practicing and to develop your playing out of your love for the music, that you have to find that motivation. Because I think when students are motivated because they want to be a musician and they love music so much, they will find their way. Because those are the kinds of students that ultimately succeed as an instrumentalist because they so much want to be able to play the instrument, and they'll find the way and the time to make it happen. However, today, you know, finding careers as a musician is a different story than it was, say, even 20, 30 years ago when I was auditioning. Because of YouTube and all the social media, people can make a name for themselves and find a niche that I don't think some of those niches were available back then. I have a colleague whose daughter is just succeeding wildly in LA as a violinist, and she's playing all sorts of alternative things and jazz shows, commercials. She's kind of created her own career path. So I think it's far more possible nowadays to create a career path instead of feel like, well, I have to teach at a university, or I have to get a job in an orchestra. You know, don't allow thinking to be limited. If you're a music student, you know, look for opportunities or create your own opportunities.
But remember your joy of music and expression through your instrument is the
exactly
big
that,
thing.
That really, to me, has to be the motivation.
Yeah. That will sustain a career, because there will be ups and downs, no doubt.
Oh, for sure.
Orchestras themselves have their ups and downs. How is Houston Symphony doing on the paying for itself front?
Oh, I'm sure the Houston Symphony is doing well financially. We just came from a two-week tour of Europe where we played in a lot of the major cities: Vienna, Berlin, Warsaw, Hamburg. The brand new it's called the Elbphilharmonie in Hamburg.
Oh, that amazing new concert hall!
Yes.
Did you play?
Yes, we did.
Oh my goodness! You should see the pictures, listeners. They're fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't know. I should have read about this. It's often reviewed, you know, as orchestras like Houston go on tour. You'll see it reviewed by the Times or other publications. Was it a successful tour for you?
Oh, very successful. I think the orchestra was greeted with a lot of enthusiasm. Our last concert was in Munich, and as we went off the stage, somebody spoke to our principal cellist and said, you know, the audiences here do not clap like that, and they do not stand. This was exceptional.
That's probably
because we had standing ovations and a lot of enthusiasm. We also had a wonderful soloist who played every concert with us. That was Hilary Hahn, and it was really wonderful to travel with her and have a chance every now and then just to talk to her and get to know her as a person.
Yeah.
But she performed the Bernstein Serenade, which is appropriate because it's the 100th anniversary of Bernstein's.
And listeners will know that the KSO just performed that work with.
Oh, that's right.
Anna Kiko Myers.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Hilary Hahn, what a fascinating soloist she is. She's mm-hmm. done a lot of new music and of course the full library of major violin concertos too. I have forgotten who the music director of the Houston Symphony is.
Our music director is from Colombia, and his name is Andres Orozco Estrada. He went from Colombia to Vienna to study, and as I understand it, basically arrived there penniless. During his time there, it became apparent that he was incredibly talented conductor, and he developed this career. And I believe his engagement with the Houston Symphony was his first engagement with a North American orchestra. But it came out about a week after we got back from tour that he had been appointed the music director of the Vienna Symphony. So that's the number two band in Vienna. The Philharmonic, of course, is the number one. But it's still a wonderful position. And if you look at their roster of prior orchestra or music directors, he's in some very good company there.
Will he retain his position in Houston?
As far as I know, yes. He's retaining his position in Houston. And his contract ends about the same time that the Vienna Symphony contract starts in, I believe it's 2021. But as far as we're aware he's intending to remain in Houston.
Well, listeners also probably know that the Kalamazoo Symphony is looking for its next music director this season. I think the final candidate will appear very soon in concert with the KSO. And getting back to Mary Butler, she and I and Steve Wolfenbarger have met to listen to the candidates of the Kalamazoo Junior Symphony Orchestra Youth Soloist Competition together. And I'd say my story about Mary is that she does have exacting standards. And here's very clearly what she feels is exceptional and what she feels needs a little more work. Mm-hmm. And just an excellent year from a lifetime in music.
Yeah, I agree. With Mom, there were no gray areas growing up, and that applied to everything. Either something was right or it was wrong. And, you know, that's her approach to music as well.
Will she be in attendance tonight?
Well, she'll be playing tonight.
Oh, good, good.
We are starting the program with a short duet, just Mom and I. And it's kind of reminiscent for me of times that our family would play music together. Because growing up, you know, we had a household with three cellists and my brother playing violin. So in the First Methodist Church, every Christmas Eve, we would play an arrangement of the Pastoral Symphony from Handel's Messiah. And it was just the four of us. Dad would play the first violin part on his cello, and my brother played the second violin part. Mom would play the viola part, and I would play the cello part. And that's a really fond memory I have of being able to do that with my own family. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to do a little duet with Mom in this program.
Family music in public. How nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That starts the program tonight at 7 o'clock at First United Methodist Church. Let's take a break for another selection from this concert. One of the pieces that brings together Elizabeth Start, Nola Thole, David Peschlikai, and Laura Jarski is the Ave Verum Corpus by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. We heard Mozart's Ave Verum Corpus in a transcription for four cellos. And tonight we'll hear it played by Elizabeth Start, Nola Thole, David Peschlikai, and Laurie Jarski, members of Octocelli. And here in the studio, Anne Sherfield and Jeffrey Butler, both cellists appearing tonight, are here to preview the concert with me. It starts at 7 o'clock at First United Methodist Church of Kalamazoo. And as we've been discussing all hour, it is a salute to Mary Butler, a long-term cellist here and a teacher who influenced many, many young musicians and continues to be an important presence on our music scene. We were talking about her discrimination of her taste and understanding of music, and it's kind of amazing to think about how much repertoire she must have seen in her lifetime, you know, and been able to, you know, develop the sense of music and fine performance values just by living in the music for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is something that she and her butler gave to you and your brother. Do you think playing tonight, you'll be thinking back on some memories or pretty much trying to stick to the performance itself?
Oh, you know, I probably will be sticking to the performance. For me, it's a little under-rehearsed, simply because I came up after most of the rehearsals were done, so I'm going to be very focused on making sure that I'm adding in a positive way to the group.
I'm sure you will be.
Anne, what are your thoughts toward the end of the hour? We're
closing up. I'm just soon. Happy that we're able to do this for Mary. She's become a good friend of mine over the last few years. I always knew about her and knew who she was, and actually did have one group cello lesson with her years ago when I was in my 20s. But I've really gotten to know her a lot since I joined the Kalamazoo Philharmonia, and also since we started the Octocelli group. So she and I have had a lot of fun discussions.
What is the Kalamazoo Philharmonia doing next?
Oh, boy. We're doing a piece by Walton, which is maybe a little more familiar, but we're also going to be premiering a Ukrainian piece that it looks like Russian on the title, and I don't know how to say the name, but we're going to take it to Chicago and do a premiere there. So it's going to be very interesting.
Have you ever known the Kalamazoo Philharmonia to go on tour and leave town and present?
Not since I've been in it, but this is a new piece, and I think it's going to be presented too as part of the Bach Festival. There's a chorus with the piece. We haven't heard that yet, but
the Kalamazoo Philharmonia is part of the Kalamazoo College ensembles, and you can find out more at the Kalamazoo College website or Google Kalamazoo Philharmonia. That's going to be two impressive pieces, the Walton
right.
Belshazzar's
yeah,
Feast.
Right, correct.
Yeah, which includes chorus. So
right.
that's where the Bach Festival
mm-hmm.
chorus comes in, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How many cellists are in the section of the Philharmonia, would you say?
I think there's 10 right now.
10. So there's actually a lot of cello players and cello music around
right.
West
and,
Michigan.
Three of the cellos in Octocelli are currently in the Philharmonia, and then Noel Thole used to be in there. So, and then Mary used to be in it, and this is her first year. So five of the 12 people playing tonight have connections to the K-Phil Orchestra.
Well, what else can we say about tonight's concert? Look at some more of the program, perhaps, Anne?
Well, our closing is Hymnus, which is kind of like, for me, a grand finale with all 12 cellos. And it's a beautiful piece. I've never played it before because it's not that often that I have 12 cellists. I can find four to play a quartet fairly easily, but 12 is a little bit harder. So,
and final thoughts from you, Jeff?
Well, I'm greatly looking forward to the concert, and I'm also tremendously grateful to Anne and David and the Octocelli group for doing this. It's a very nice gesture for my mom, who's... she's 88 now and still playing, and I really truly admire that myself. I hope I can do that. I just wanted to say thank you, and really looking forward to the concert.